Study. You know, Ephesians 2 and 10 says that we are God's workmanship. And in essence, we're God's masterpiece. And I don't know about you guys, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece sometimes, you know? Maybe sometimes like a Picasso, you know, all out of whack and everything. But I want to be a masterpiece, you know? I want to be everything God wants me to be. So what I have to do is I go to Him in prayer and I say, God, take away all the things that aren't of You. Lord, just mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece.
Hello.
Well, who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you said a prayer. Here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, make it snow in here.
Well, if I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I don't really want to do that.
See? You're not God.
Why do you say that?
Because God wouldn't say yucky.
Sure, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. All right. If you're God, what is what's Lamentations 15 and 9 say?
Well, Lamentations is a rather short book. There's only 5 chapters.
Right. But why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. All right. Okay, God. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
Well, I'm not so much into playing games. So why are you so into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I?
Yeah,
did it again. All right, well, step up here. Let's go.
All right. Just real, what is this?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay. All right. Aren't you a carpenter?
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
How do you exactly know what to knock off and what to leave, you know?
Well, see, I just chisel away anything that's not of me in your life. You know, like dead weight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, okay. What I was thinking was if we're chiseling, we could chisel like right in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the other went away. But see, I've been exercising. I've been watching what I eat. I even did Pilates for a little while. Talk about awkward. Right? But, chiseling.
Are you going to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
Chisel. We're going to chisel.
Okay. Most of my children like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
All right. Well, here we go. You've got some pride.
Ow!
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow!
You're lazy.
Ow!
But you pretend to be busy.
Ow! Okay.
You have a problem with lust?
Oh, okay. Time out, bro. Alright, see, I don't have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, man, I can do it whenever I want. Okay. Alright, chisel. Ow! Okay, alright. Okay. What I'm thinking is, we take a little break, we come back to this. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good. I mean...
You are doing pretty good. But when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately what you and others need to see is my son.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but here's the thing. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. When I start to be more like your son, see, people start being really uncomfortable around me. Like, even my church friends, they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, why wouldn't you do that, right?
Okay, so what you're saying is you would rather play God in some of the areas of your life than to let me be God in your whole life.
I didn't say that.
It's what you meant.
Yeah, it's really hard to talk to you, because you know what I'm thinking and stuff. Okay, here's what I'm thinking, though. Here we go. We could just take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back. We'll get back to the chiseling. You're doing good stuff. We're just going to take a little time out.
See? What you're doing, it's called control. It's a very common problem. But do you want to control the areas in your life, or do you want me to chisel? Control, chisel. Control, chisel.
Chisel. We're going to chisel.
Okay. All right. Here we go. You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Okay, that hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Ow! Okay, alright. I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for sin and for pain, but I did it for another reason. I did it for your freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting different results. There are things in your life that you've been trying, even from back in high school, that just do not work. But each time you're lonely and tired and scared, you go back to these empty wells, but they do not work.
Okay, chisel away. I just want you to be prepared for what you're going to find. I mean, because God, I know I get up every morning and I look in that mirror and I see the same, it's the same scared little kid has to get up every morning and dress like an adult and act like an adult, and I just can't. So I want you to be prepared for what you're going to find.
You have listened to far too many voices for far too long that aren't of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'm going to do that right now.
You were just using my name in vain.
Well, you see, it's a name, it's a saying.
It's more than a name, it's more than a saying. It's the name above all names. I'm going to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Right.
You recognize that?
Yeah. This is a page from a journal I used to have when I was a kid. How'd you get this?
Hello.
Oh, yeah. That.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. Hey, I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Read it.
It says, Dear God, today I'm turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you'll make me a masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how that's possible, but God, do whatever it takes to make me your masterpiece. I love you, God.
I love you too, Stuart. And I love you too much to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. But I want you to work it out, every detail of your life. And stop comparing yourself to others, because that's just trivial nonsense. I want you to do something for me. I want you to look out there and say, Stuart is God's original masterpiece.
Stuart?
No. Not the way you see you, or the way you yearn for others to see you, but the way I see you.
Stuart is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You're all original masterpieces.
Man, how many's good to know that they are an original masterpiece of God? God doesn't make junk. You know, a lot of times we get that in our head. You know, God must have messed up on me. He must have done something wrong. No. You are an original masterpiece. Handcrafted by God, Sister Angie. You are you because that's the way God made you to be. He's handcrafted each and every one of us, took the time to detail out every feature. He knows how many hairs are on your head. That to me is just, it's an amazing thing. We serve an awesome God tonight. Always remember, you are not junk. You are an original masterpiece. If you would tonight, stand with me. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 2, starting with verse 1. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy 2 and 1 says, first of all, this is Moses standing before the children of Israel. He says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough." Pray with me tonight that the Lord just has His way in the service. You know, pray, I really feel oppressed from the enemy tonight. I really feel like he's been trying to hinder this service. I feel like there's just been something here that's been pressing. I don't know about these others, but I've felt nervous about this more than usual and things. And I just feel like that's the enemy coming in to attack the service here tonight. So just as you pray tonight, just pray that the Lord will just move and fill this place tonight and have His way. Lord God, we thank You. God, for all that You do, Lord, we thank You for the service that we've had so far, dear God. Lord, for the songs that's been sung, Lord. We thank You for the skit, Lord, that message, dear God, that we are an original masterpiece of Yours. Lord God, help each and every one of us to remember that, dear God. Lord, we ask now that You bless the sermon. Lord, bless the words. Give me the words to speak that would help somebody here tonight, dear God. Lord, we ask that You just rebuke the hand of the enemy right now, Lord, as he tries to fight and hinder this service, dear God. Lord, we ask that You just come down. Lord, we know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord. And You can come down and You can just fill this temple here tonight, dear God, and let Your will be done in this place. God, we give You the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, if I could for a little bit tonight, probably won't be too lengthy, but for a little while, I want to talk to us on move on. Move on. You know, many of us have heard that phrase probably. Most of the time, it's in reference to a relationship gone south. You know, you're whining and crying to your buddies, saying, "Oh, she just broke my heart. I don't know how I'm going to make it," or "I can't believe he did that to me, and now here I am alone by myself." And you whine and you cry, Brother Eddie, until your buddy just finally says, "Look, man, it's time to move on. What you're doing's not working. How you're acting's not helping anything. Sitting here and wallowing in it isn't changing anything. It's time to move on." The children of Israel, here at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 2, find themselves in a similar predicament. They're not in a relationship, you know, in that same aspect. But they do have a relationship going on here. We know the story of the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt. We know how God used Moses to go speak to Pharaoh. How He sent the 10 plagues to come and basically convince Pharaoh to set the children of Israel free. We know how God sent a cloud to cover them by day, a pillar of fire to guide them by night. We know how they came to the Red Sea and God parted the waters, rolled them back so that they could walk through on dry ground. And then as their enemy came in behind them, He closed the water up and took care of their enemy for them. We know how they came up to the Canaan land and they sent out spies to go into the land to see what was over there, Brother James. We know that 10 of them came back. They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, "Can't do it. There's giants over there. There's fortified cities over there. They're too big. We're too small. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and they'll surely take us out." We know 2 more came back, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And we know that they chose the bad report of the 10 men as opposed to the good report from Joshua and Caleb. And as a result of all of this, as a result of them not obeying God, not taking God at His word, they were forced to wander in the wilderness. They wandered around Mount Seir for 40 years. God had them circle this mountain until everybody over the age of 20, all of the unbelieving generation, died out. In Deuteronomy 2, we find Moses standing before the second generation of Israelites. He knows that this is the generation that's going to see the promised land. Brother Danny, he knows the sufferings that they've endured. He knows the hardships that they've gone through during these 40 years. He knows this mountain that stood between them and where they need to be with God. And as he stands before them, he says, "The Lord spoke unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough." He was saying to them, "We've been doing this for too long now. We've been walking around in circles out here. We've been getting absolutely nothing done. We've gotten up every morning for the past 40 years, and there's been this mountain standing between us and where we need to be with God. God's got a place that's promised for us. He's got a place that we're supposed to be, but there's this mountain that's between us." Many of us here tonight have a mountain in our lives. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, battles that we face, everyday things that come against us. You know, that's all part of life. We're all going to have to go through things. We're all going to have to endure some things. Not everything's going to be a bed of roses. We're going to have to go through some stuff. But tonight I'm talking about that mountain, that one problem, that one trial, that one hindrance that stands between us and where we need to be with God. You know, we get up day after day, and there's our mountain. We deal with it. We live with it. It's become part of our lives now. You know, each day we wake up, we realize, here's our mountain that we're going to have to face. We know that tomorrow we're going to have to wake up, and there's that mountain that we're going to have to face. It seems long, it seems weary, it seems endless. But tonight, God's saying to us, you've compassed this mountain long enough. He's saying to us, you've dealt with this problem for far too long. This has been hindering you long enough now. It's time to take what I've promised you. You know, we've got these things that stand between. I don't know what your mountain is. Okay, I don't know what the circumstance is in your life. I don't know what the situation is in your life that you're dealing with personally. But we've got these things that stand between us and God. We've got the Bible refers to them as besetting sins and weights that they so easily beset us. You know, we've each got these things that we deal with and that we worry about. But it's time that we quit circling out in the wilderness. You know, it's time that we stop waking up every morning and facing this mountain. It's time that we stop just accepting it for what it is. But it's time we take charge of this thing. It's time we stop fooling around, and it's time we buckle up, we get in here, we start digging a little deeper, and we decide, hey God, I'm not going to walk around in circles anymore. I'm not going to be out here acting foolish, but it's ready to get in here, dig deep, and let's move on with this thing. We've got a promised land that's waiting for us. We can't keep circling around out here in the desert. We can't keep wandering around. You know, I know what it's like, Brother Eddie, to have a mountain in my life. I know what it's like to get up every day and have to deal with this thing. It seems like no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you pray, no matter what you say, you can come to church every service, hear the preaching, you get stirred, you come to the altar, you weep and you cry, and you do what they tell you to do. You leave it there. But then when you go back home and you wake up in the morning, it's not still on the altar, it doesn't seem, because it's right back in your face coming at you again. And day after day you go through this. There's people here, you know, myself included, that's gone through things for years now, Sister Brenda. And we've accepted it. But it's been days, it's been weeks, it's been years that this thing has been holding us back from where we need to be with God. And tonight God is saying, you've compassed this mountain long enough. It's time to stop dealing with this thing. That thing has no power over you. We are children of the King, Brother Danny. You sung it this morning. We are not of this world. We are not of the things of this world. The things of this world have no dominion over us. They can't hold us down. It can't keep us out there in the wilderness. But we have compassed this mountain long enough, and it's time that we move into the promised land. It's like the church has got this in their mind, that it's just okay to have these mountains. It's okay that there's things in our life. You know, that's the way it is. God loves you the way you are. You know, God loves us the way we are, but He expects us to keep pressing in, to keep moving upward, to always keep yearning to draw closer to Him. And as long as there's a mountain in our way, we can't draw any closer to Him. We're just going to keep circling the drain. We're just going to keep winding this thing up. But we've come past this mountain long enough. We were not made to wander around in our problems. We were made to be victorious. You know, Israel wasn't made to wander around that mountain. They weren't made to wander around in the wilderness. God didn't waste His time delivering them from Egypt for them to wander around Mount Seir for the rest of their life. He called them out of there because there was a land that He wanted them to go to. There was a land that flowed with milk and honey. There was a land that He was going to take them into. And even though all the odds seemed against them, He was going to show Himself mighty through these people. He was going to give them victory over the things that came against them. They were going to just reap in the benefits of this land that He had waiting for them. It was promised to them. It wasn't just a gamble. It had been promised to them. He said, if you'll go in, I will give them to you. The kings will fall under you. They were made to be mighty. They were made to conquer the enemy. God didn't deliver you from the clutches of sin, from the very gates of hell, for you to deal with this problem every day. He did not take you out of sin so that you could still be under the mercy of the devil. But He brought us out of that to give us the power to overcome that. The power to rise above sin. The power to rise above these mountains that are in our life. You know, He called us out of fear and trembling and called us into joy unspeakable and full of glory. He called us out of worry and stress into peace that passeth all understanding. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We were not made to wander around in the wilderness. We were not made to deal with these things and have them reign in our lives and stand between us and God. But we were made to be more than conquerors in this thing. We were made to overcome. He's promised us these things. We've come past this mountain long enough. I don't know about you, Brother Brandon, but I am absolutely sick of walking around this mountain. It's been far too long. I've dealt with this thing. I've fought with this thing. And you know what, Brother James? I'm sick and tired of it. I know that there's a better place that's waiting for me. I know that this isn't all that it's going to add up to. I know that this isn't what I was made to do. I know that there's a promised land waiting for me. You know, we talked this morning, sung songs about the land that's waiting over there. Brother Danny read us the scripture about the mansions that He's gone to prepare. We know about that place. We know that if we endure in this thing, that that's the reward that's waiting for us. But in this life, we have promises from God. We have a promised land right here that we can enter into that peace, that rest, that joy. We don't have to be in this struggle and turmoil and trials. You know, yeah, we'll have to go through things. But you know what? The children of Israel, when they crossed over into Canaan finally, they still had to fight battles. They still had to grab their sword occasionally, Brother Danny. They had to go out in war. But you know what? God was on their side. And we know the scripture well. If God be for us, who can be against us? They went in there, they stood for God, and God delivered those kingdoms into their hand. He gave them the land just as He had promised to them. And if we'll tonight hang in there with God, if we'll buckle down and get serious about this thing and quit playing games. You know, that's all walking around in circles is it's playing games. We're too sorry to just say, God, I'm going to do this for You. We'd rather just walk around it, keep dealing with it, let it stay where it's at, and it won't bother us. But that's not what we're to do tonight. God's telling us we've come past this mountain long enough. The church has too many mountains standing between it and God. That's not God's plan. The world should not look at the church and see it wandering around aimlessly with no point, no goal. We're just here. We go to church. You know, we're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You know, if we can make it. Occasionally we'll hit a Bible study or something. Revivals are kind of lengthy for us, but you know, we'll hit a service or two. You know, that's not how the church should see us. The church should see us full of power, full of God, excited and happy and ready to go. As long as that mountain's standing between you and God, you don't have that enthusiasm that you need, that enthusiasm that they need to see. You know, they ought to be able to look at the church and say, This is where I need to be. This is what I need to be doing. All these things that aren't working in my life, I need what these people got because they got it together. They go through things. They go through some of the same things I go through, but it seems like it's easier on them. But as long as we stay out there in the wilderness, as long as we keep wandering around, we'll never have that impact on them. You know, we are fully equipped to take this promised land. We're fully equipped to be able to lay our heads down on our pillows at night and sleep. As I said, I don't know what your mountain is. Maybe your mountain's financial. Maybe you're worried because you don't know how you're going to pay the next bill. You don't know, you know, how you're going to feed your family. Funds are low. You're struggling to make ends meet. That's a mountain. Maybe it's physical. You know, you've got health issues coming on. You've heard that word cancer from the doctor. You know, and these things are coming against you and you just don't know how you're going to overcome it. That's a mountain. Maybe you've got a mountain of lust or anger or envy or jealousy, strife, malice. I don't know what it is, but I know that we've compassed it too long. We've walked around it too long, and it's time we go take our promise. You know, I've heard it said many times to leave it on the altar. Brother Danny, that used to burn me up. Because I just didn't grasp that. I didn't understand how you leave it on the altar. Because like I said, you come to the altar, you weep, you cry, you tell God, I'm sorry, take this from me. And you get up thinking you left it on the altar, but when you get up in the morning, there it is again. And in my mind, I was thinking, I left that on the altar, what's it doing here again? I shouldn't have to be dealing with this anymore. But that's not what that's saying when it says to leave it on the altar. You know, the devil's not just going to, because you went and prayed good, just back off and say, well, I won't bother him with that anymore, he prayed too good. No, he's going to keep coming at you. He knows that that's something that works, and he's going to keep pressing it in there. But leaving it at the altar, what you're doing is when you come and you pray, you drive a stake in there. You make the old landmark. That's the song I was thinking. You put a landmark down there, and you drive it in, and when you wake up in the morning, and you see that mountain, and the devil's telling you it's just another day, you're going to have to deal with this again. You can say, no, devil, last night I went to the altar, I prayed, I know it's still here, but I know that my God's able to take me through it. I know that God's able to see me through it. You know, you're still going to have to get up, you're still going to have to face the things, you're still going to have to go through them. But if you leave it at the altar, that means you're trusting God at His Word. You're knowing that He's there. You know, He said in His Word, He'll never leave us or forsake us. That means as long as we'll keep walking for Him, He'll keep going with us, Brother Eddie. And He'll take us into all the things that He's promised us. We've got, man, the life of a Christian is a good life. It can be hard at times. You know, it seems hard at times. But the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It being hard is just the devil coming against you, telling you that it's hard. But really, if you look at it, man, this is the best life you can live. You know, my funds are low, but I don't have to lay down at night and worry about it because I know I serve a God that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Money's no issue for Him. Wealth's no issue for Him. Danny sung it this morning. He holds all the wealth in the palm of His hand. We don't have to worry about a thing. Those medical issues and things coming against you, we don't have to worry about it, folks. Because God, He gives us peace. You know, I've gone through things on my own, in the world, and it's a nightmare. But you go through those some things with God, and there's just a peace about it that you know everything's going to work out. We've compassed the mountain too long tonight. We've got a promised land that's waiting for us. It's time we go take it. Stand tonight. I told you it wouldn't be too long. But you know, I feel that, you know, that's something we need to know. That we don't have to keep compassing this mountain. It's time we move on. This relationship with us and our problem, it's not working. Just walking around it doesn't fix anything. Eventually we have to confront it and move on. We have to bring it to the altar. We have to drive that stake in there. And we got to move on to that promised land. We've compassed this mountain long enough tonight. If you've got a mountain in your life, it's not just part of life. You know, that skit, when God's chiseling away, you know, He starts talking about, well, can you take away the areas that I want to take away? You know, can you do this the way I want? I'll let you chisel on me, but can you take away these certain things? And you know, it's not necessarily, Sister Robin, that we want to hold on to that mountain. But did you hear when God would chisel on Stuart there? He'd say, ow, that hurts. I don't think you understand this pain. Sometimes that mountain, it's not necessarily that we want to hold on to it, but sometimes it just hurts. You know, it's too much of a struggle to really go up against it and fight it. And that's why we're content to just walk around it. We're content to just wander around. But we are not made to just be content. We're not made to be satisfied. We should always be reaching and striving to go higher, to go deeper, to go further with God. You know, there's more out there. And if we'll just turn it all over to Him, if we'll say, God, I know it hurts, but here's my mountain. Move my mountain. Danny sings a song. He can move my mountain. He can move your mountain too. God's able tonight. Come to the altars and pray. And just keep in mind, we are victorious tonight. And we've compassed this mountain long enough. It's time to move on.